of Revelation chapter 16. I always feel a sense of regret whenever I preach a sermon. Perhaps it's inevitable that one feels that one has let down God, whom one is serving, and indeed his people. But I feel the need to apologize for the way that I led this morning's service, and in particular for the way that I preached. The reason being is that I felt extremely washed out and tired this morning, and I feel pretty much the same this evening, and therefore I want to apologize before I begin. Trust that the Lord will help me and uphold me. But let's read now Revelation chapter 15, starting to read at verse 5. After this I looked, and I saw in heaven the temple, that is, the tabernacle of the covenant law, and it was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chests. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go, pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth." The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land. An ugly, festering sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead person, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, "You are just in these judgments, O Holy One. You who are and who were, for they have shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." And I heard the altar respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are demonic spirits that perform signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed, so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. Then they gathered the kings together to the place that is in Hebrew called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since mankind has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island fled away and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones, each weighing about 100 pounds, fell on people. And they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible. Well, there's so much here that we're not going to look at most of it in detail. But I just want to share a few thoughts really with you from these verses. Last Sunday, you may remember that we looked at this wonderful victory song in Revelation chapter 15. They, that is, the people of God in heaven held harps given them by God and sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Everything has been wrapped up. God's people find themselves in heaven with the Lamb, and they sing this song of victory, for they have overcome their enemies and they are no more. Well, this week we're going to look at the seven bowls of God's wrath, which contain these terrible plagues or judgments that are poured out upon the earth, basically upon the enemies of God. Perhaps it's worth pointing out again that the book of Revelation isn't in a nice, neat chronological order. So last week we found ourselves beyond Judgment Day in heaven. This week we're returning to what happens throughout the last days. And in particular, what happens on or during the run-up to the final judgment. You may like to very quickly glance at verse 5 of chapter 15, where we read, "After this I looked and I saw in heaven the temple," that is the tabernacle of the covenant law, "and it was opened." This verse impresses upon us that the bowls of God's wrath that are to be poured out are just judgments. God is going to judge the inhabitants of the earth, those that have rejected his Son, those who have set themselves up in opposition to him, whether wittingly or unwittingly, are going to be judged in accordance with his holy law. As I said last week, these bowls of wrath contain plagues, and the plagues, you may have noticed, are reminiscent of the plagues that came upon the Egyptians during the time of Moses. We've got water turning to blood, darkness, frogs, hailstones. These bowls of wrath are not so dissimilar to what we read in chapters 8 and 9 concerning the trumpets. If we had time this evening, we could contrast them and see how similar they are. But there is a difference. You see, the trumpets have the purpose of warning. Of warning. Whereas the bowls serve a different purpose. The bowls are simply the judgments of God. The trumpets urge the inhabitants of the earth to repent and to get right with God, you know, before the great and final day of judgment comes. And you know, sometimes disaster or calamity can have the desired effect, can't it, on people. I remember those terrible events in America. 9/11 is what I'm referring to. And Tim Keller, a pastor in New York at the time, testified to the fact that after that horrific event in New York, where those two planes flew into the Twin Towers, that the following Sunday, there were hundreds of people that came into the church with 1,001 questions. And a significant number of them were converted. Sometimes calamity, sometimes disaster can bring people to their senses, but not always. But not always. Of course, we don't have to wait until the end of the last days, that is, for God's final judgment. For the judgments of God to be revealed or to come upon the wicked. Turn with me for a moment to Romans and chapter 1. Romans and chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 18. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed. This is Paul speaking in the first century. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And of course, in Romans chapter 1, Paul expresses a number of different ways in which the wrath of God is now being revealed. It is being expressed in God giving people over to sexual impurity or to shameful lusts. And you can continue reading in chapter 1 if you want to see exactly what the apostle has in mind. And then, of course, the apostle goes on to talk about God giving people over to depraved minds. Well, we see some of these things, don't we, occurring in our society today. And I think this is part and parcel of God addressing us, judging us as a nation. These bowls of God's wrath speak of judgments such as pollution, disease, societal collapse, or the collapse of governments. We haven't really got time to go into these things in detail, but I just want to express these things in outline. Now, prior to the final judgment, prior to the seventh bowl being poured out, we see that Satan, with his helpers, gathers the kings of the earth for a great battle, the battle of Armageddon. And I would argue that this really amounts to Satan's little Caesar that we read about back in Revelation chapter 11. Now let's for a moment go back in our minds, not necessarily to the pages of Scripture, to Judges chapters 4 and 5, where we read that the Canaanites amassed their armies against the people of God, that is, against the people of ancient Israel. And the Canaanites have 900 chariots. Guess what weaponry the Israelites have? Nothing. Nothing. They don't even have a spear to their name. And so you can imagine, can't you, how much the Israelites find themselves against a wall, so to speak. Where is this battle fought? It is fought in a place called Megiddo. And we know this evening that Armageddon means Mountain of Megiddo. Mountain of Megiddo. The ancient people of Israel are really up against it. It looks as if they are going to be overcome and destroyed, but suddenly God comes to his people's rescue and delivers them from their enemies. And ever since that time, the mountain of Megiddo, that is Armageddon, has become symbolic of all the battles where God's people found themselves severely oppressed, but experienced the Lord suddenly coming to their rescue and giving them victory. Friends, before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that he's coming again because he has promised to do so, Satan will mount an attack against God's people. The Battle of Armageddon. And I suppose what I'm about to say is a little controversial, at least in some circles, but I believe that this great attack of Satan will be against the church of Jesus Christ. That is the new Israel of God, as opposed to the political entity that we see today in the Middle East. There will come a day when the church finds itself really up against it. When Satan literally endeavors to throw all that he has at God's people. But suddenly, when the church has its back, as it were, against the wall, Jesus will come in all his glory. He will come like a thief in the night. He will come when many people least expect it. And his coming will mark the pouring out of the seventh bowl, which equals the final judgment, which we see being spoken about in rather dramatic language in verses 17 to 21. Shall we read it again? The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done. No more bowls of God's wrath. No more judgment upon the earth. This is the final judgment." Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it had ever occurred since mankind had been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. We're going to be thinking about Babylon in the next two chapters. Verse 20, every island fled away and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones, each weighing about 100 pounds, fell on people, and they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible. It's interesting as we read chapter 16 here that there is no repentance on the part of those who've experienced these judgments. They're like Pharaoh in the Old Testament. They simply harden their hearts and they curse God on account of what they experience. Well, it's all pretty serious stuff, isn't it? But you know, the wonderful thing is that we as believers do not need to fear these bowls of God's wrath. Actually, some of the early ones, we might find ourselves being caught up in. We live in this world, don't we? Side beside unbelievers. But for us, they can never be judgments. They can never be judgments. Because there is no judgment. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We may get caught up with some of these things, but actually, God is at work in our situation for good. And for his glory, as we know. But we do not need to fear any of these bowls of wrath, because we are not God's enemies. We are his people. We are those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. I think it's worth reminding ourselves this evening of all that went on in the land of Egypt. You know, the judgments, they fell upon the Egyptians, didn't they? They didn't fall upon God's people living in Goshen. And they were enabled to escape that great and final judgment by putting the blood of the lambs on their doorposts. Well, we'll be covered, won't we, on this great and awful day by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus comes, it's something to look forward to as far as we are concerned, because we shall be ushered into heaven, where we shall join with this great company who sing the victory song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. We shall eternally praise God for saving us and for giving us victory over his enemies. Well, I'm sure that a lot more could be said than I've said this evening from this long chapter. But we'll leave it there. God willing, next week we'll look at chapters 17 and 18. You might like to read those in preparation for next week. In my mind, I'm thinking that we'll look at these two chapters together rather than looking at them separately. But having said that, I might change my mind before next week. I have the prerogative to do so. Okay. Well, let's sing, shall we? Again, there are a few songs or a few hymns tucked away at the end of the praise hymn book that deal with judgment and hell. These are subjects that we probably don't like to think about. But if we're serious about the Word of God, we're forced to think about them, aren't we? This is one of those songs that's tucked away at the back of the praise hymn book. So let's stand and sing it through together, and will the judge descend?